Okay, everybody, that's enough of that. So I had a little bit of a rough start to this show. I think it has to do with my Mac updating. It's very hard to keep track of. Both of these PCs tend to update, you know, when they update, they screw everything I have set up here. And then you have to sort of realign the stuff back up again. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I'm Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. And so I'm going to just get started. We lost about 10 minutes. Probably lost everybody. You know, but hopefully there'll be somebody still there wondering, what's going on with this guy? You know, right? So today I had a bunch of things I'm going to talk to you about. I kind of sort of blew them all away. I turned off my Mac, and so I got rid of my the articles I was going to write about, the questions that some of the people have. I could probably try to bring it back up again and see if they're still there, but probably not. It may have been under my recently done on Pages. You know, I use Pages, and I also use a PC, but I use all my writing on my Mac, you know. Now let's see, where is it at? Okay, so let's see, didn't do a previous. Maybe I could do a previous. Recent. A year ago. Nope, didn't do the recent. Oh, there is one year ago. Okay, so I'm just going to go straight to the a question that someone asked me. It's actually a double part question. And the person says, I am having a problem with my bougainvillea surviving after my gardener planted them. Eucalyptus tree are adjacent. How should they be planted, morning to afternoon sun? And there are serious questions in here, so I'm just going to answer each one rather than, you know, do the whole thing at one time. So she's having a problem with bougainvillea, whether it should be planted in morning or afternoon sun, and whether eucalyptus trees have any problems too, have anything, you know, can cause a problem. Normally, you don't plant around eucalyptus trees because the eucalyptus leaves are very acid, is the oil in the leaves. And so when they first drop, and the tree itself will be dropping these acid oil, the leaves, when they decompose, they'll literally burn the plants up. They make the soil very, very acidic, very, very fast. However, if you have eucalyptus abundance of them, you can dry it out first, and then you can compost it, run through the composter, or use it as a mulch. I would run it through the composter. Then you could use it. And whether you get morning or afternoon sun, a eucalyptus like to get full sun, like tomato plants, 8 hours a day, right? 8 hours a day. So if they love the morning sun, and then they should go all the way through the day. The difference would be where you live at, okay? So where you live at will determine, you know, what's going on. If, for example, you have, you live in, like over here in California, so the difference between living by the beach or living in the valley is about 100 degrees. it could easily be 100 degrees in the valley. So, whereas in Malibu, it's pretty mellow all day long. Bougainvilleas do really well in Malibu because they can handle the moisture. They love the not too hot weather, mellow weather. But if it gets really, really hot in terms of 100 degrees, 90 degrees, 100 degrees, then they would just do better either or, early morning sun or late afternoon sun. As a matter of fact, that would be ideal because they could use both if somehow you can cut out the middle part because it's too hot. It would be just way too hot to get direct sun when it's 100 degrees or burn them right up and it won't last. That's why you don't find them in the desert that often. Okay, so he also says, I have a few coral trees. I get a few red flowers. I trim in late summer because it's of so much growth. Branches shoot out quickly. Okay, so you don't really say very much about what you're feeding them. More likely, with the branches shooting out quickly is an indication of overuse of nitrogen. which implies that you're somewhere near a lawn. Unless you're feeding these trees with some type of chemical fertilizer, and all chemical fertilizers are usually high nitrogen based. I have yet to run into a chemical fertilizer that's below nitrogen based. Well, I take that back. I found one, but I don't really consider it a chemical fertilizer because it's made as a phosphorus fertilizer. So phosphorus is a source of rocks, like rock dust. It's a source of it's a it comes in the form of rocks. It gets crushed up. It's called soft rock phosphate. And so so that's what this first line. I'm not gonna give it a name, but that's what it is. Is a liquid phosphorus fertilizer. Very low in the nitrogen. Hardly doesn't have any nitrogen whatsoever, and very low in the numbers, but it has a good source of phosphorus. I myself use the soft rock phosphate for that purpose when I'm using it on the whether I'm making compost or whether I am spraying, because you can make a tea out of it and spray it. The thing you need to realize about spraying specific minerals like phosphorus is that you don't really want to do that. You want to have a blend of all the different trace minerals and all the different minerals. So same thing with a coral tree. I have a customer that has about, I don't know, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, maybe 10 coral trees. And only thing I don't like about what she does to the coral trees is that they grow to be so big and beautiful, she cuts them back again. Once or twice a year, she cuts them back. And then, of course, they come back because I feed them, and I don't really like that. It damages the coral trees, makes them weaker. Sooner or later, they're going to die sooner than later, okay? And also, too, I think that she says it blocks her view, and I think it is part of the view. But they do get really big and healthy if they're getting the right proportion of minerals that they need. Right? So it's important that, let's see, I'm looking for the, oh, there it is. Just trying, no, that's not what I wanted to do. Oh, dear. Let's see, I think I may have messed up here. I should just leave it alone. I think I did something wrong, but I'm not sure now. Oh, Zaddy. Okay, so I'll just leave it alone. If there's a problem, I'm sure Mr. Engineer will tell me, because I've lost the box that tells you that I have if I take this off, I might just turn it off somehow. I don't know what I'm doing with this thing. The Mac is very different than the PC, so sometimes I go back and forth. Now I'm doing something and I don't know what it's doing here, so I'm just going to leave it alone. Just view. Let's see, a view, actual size view, bring all to front. Tools, export chat. Well, I don't see what. Well, I'm going to leave it alone. Somehow I clicked on start sharing. So I'm assuming that Don is my conscious engineer there, will speak into my mind and said, "You're not speaking. Your voice, whatever." Anyway, so with the so I have to get back to that question about the coral tree. All right. So the coral tree will be growing rather rapidly if you just give it the fertilizers. The chemical fertilizers are high nitrogen based, very little amount of trace minerals. Some of the really good tree fertilizers have a maybe 5 or 6 trace minerals. They would do copper, right? They would do iron, probably magnesium, right? Aside from the nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, right? They would do the like I said, copper, iron, magnesium. They would do maybe manganese, maybe calcium, right? They might do any of the other. There are other several ones, depending upon whether what they make it for. Some are really good, and they have a wider range of trace minerals. I use a product called C90, C90, and guess what? There are 90 trace minerals in it. Okay, so I would suggest that you, and since you don't tell me how you're feeding these things, automatically I would say that you're not organic. Otherwise, you would say I'm organic. I've been feeding these trees, right? I always want details, but I would assume right off the bat. I don't like assuming, but I would say right off the bat that you're not feeding it correctly. Look, one of the things that nitrogen does especially high nitrogen, inhibits the absorption of trace minerals. Okay, isn't that a coincidence? It makes things rapidly go, it makes things grow fast, that's true. Right? It makes for rapid, not necessarily healthy growth, but it makes for rapid growth, right? Just think of, I was going to say pumping iron, but it's not the same thing, even though it's pretty close to it. Just think of a person that did sugar, or speed or something along those lines. It stretches you up, for sure. And so what it does is that somehow the way things have ended up is that high nitrogen suppresses, and the reason, here's the way it works, okay? This is why, if you use high nitrogen, it inhibits the tree's absorbing trace minerals. So I talk a lot about trace minerals, right? I talk about the importance of trace minerals, or why we as humans eat trace minerals, right? I talk about that all the time, trace minerals. How every disease that trees have and plants have, actually humans and everything, all start in the soil. All has to do with the earth. Everything is geared to whether or not you have enough trace minerals. Some things are geared to giving, making sure you get the trace minerals. Other things are geared to respond when you're not getting the trace minerals. Diseases and pests all have to do with trace minerals, whether you have them or not. A trace mineral deficiency will lead to diseases and pests. I tell people the greater the stress, the greater the pest. That rhymes, because I also should say the greater the disease, that does rhyme. The disease is the greater, you know what I mean? But you get the idea. And so stress is the word here, see? And so what happens is that when you use high nitrogen fertilizer, now, the nitrogen, there's a name for it. It's called urea, U-R-E-A. It's a chemical, and it's 45% nitrogen, 4500. Now, urea was named after urine in animals. The animals and people, urine, right? They pee. The pee of animals, the urine of animals is like 1% nitrogen, maybe that. But it's not just nitrogen. It's a blend of a wide variety of hormones and bacteria and enzymes and all kinds of other things go into that product, right? Whereas urea is just urea. It's just that it's 4500, nothing else. And so they put that into the fertilizer you're going to get, you're giving to the plant. Whether it be, so very rarely are they 4500, you know, for tree fertilizers. They could be like a 13, 13, 13, right? Or 20, 20, 20, something like that, right? It'll probably be like, if I was to go out and buy a chemical fertilizer for trees, and if I were to buy it from the standard places that arborists get them from, which I do, I am an arborist, and I could get it from various different arborist places online. They have about, again, six numbers up there. And they'll tell you, you know, this is 2020-2020, this is 2020-2020-2020, that's by, some very rarely do they have like 20s all the way across. They would say 2020-20, and then the following numbers would be like a 7, an 8, a 9, whatever the minerals would be. And they're always in an order, and they will tell you what the minerals are. So it will say 2% calcium, 3% iron, I'll say magnesium, 5% magnesium, like that, right? The really, really good ones, the ones nowadays that are out there and they're finally starting to get across, show a wider range of the minerals, right? They have more of them, more minerals available than before. But there's still 90 of them that are needed. So these guys here will get like a wider range, maybe like 20 other minerals, okay? Which the trees will, of course, respond to that. Again, the problem is they still have the higher nitrogen, right? And so they're not quite getting the fact that it's the high nitrogen that's inhibiting the minerals. And I have a feeling they do, because that's why they have like a 20% phosphorus and a 20% calcium, and the nitrogen and the potassium is 20%. They figure the more the better, and the more you give them of that trace mineral, some of it's bound to get to the plant. But I think they understand that, you know, the plant's not going to absorb all of this, and a lot of it is wasted. And I don't know if they actually understand that it's because of the nitrogen, because the nitrogen kills the bacteria in the soil, Chemical fertilizers kills the natural bacteria in the soil. All those chemicals in there are toxic if done in beyond the normal amount found in nature. Otherwise, they would be found in nature. Simple as that. So they kill the natural bacteria that you find in the soil. Not all the bacteria, they kill the good guys. The bad guys, after the destruction, will be the first to come back. It's always the bad guys that come back first and the good guys. The good guys takes longer time for them to come back. So you're going to have all these bad guys, but I say bad guys and not really bad guys, okay? I don't want you to think that there's certain bacteria that are bad, certain good bacteria that are good. But I use that as a way to express to you that these are the bacteria that you don't want to have in the soil. These are the bacteria that are going to be producing the diseases. Right? These are the bacteria that the pests bring around. You see? And so there's two different purposes that these beings have, right? The mycelium, the mycorrhizae that I talk about in the soil, right? Their job is to provide the minerals, so forth, and the trace minerals and the enzymes and everything else to the trees. And it's done through the root hairs of the trees. One of the things that this high nitrogen does is destroys the root hairs of the trees. Therefore, you're not going to get anybody living there who will transfer the trace metals and so forth to the trees. Gee, I made that really simple, didn't I? And that's also the reason why organic fertilizers do not work in dead soil. When I talk about dead soil, I talk about soil that does not have these beneficial microorganisms there waiting for this to work together with the organic fertilizer. It's one reason why the good organic fertilizers now on the market come with their own endo and ectal mycorrhizae, their own sources of the microbes, because they can come in like in freeze-dried form. These creatures can go into a suspended state, and be there until they get activated. That's what's really cool about them. So you can buy organic fertilizers now that have added endo and ectal mycorrhizae to them. The idea being that it's going to eventually start multiplying and growing in the soil. The idea being that it's not in the soil. They finally realize you can do organic fertilizers all you want to, but if the soil is dead, it doesn't have anything to work with, even rock dust, nothing's going to be available, you still have a problem. So what you need to do with your coral trees, you need to start using organic fertilizers. I like. This is basically going to be a free ad, okay? And if you're listening out there, you know who I'm talking about when I mention a name, okay? But it's lately, well, not lately, but I don't know, for a long time I have been using the Dr. Earth, right? And in the past, they weren't adding the mycorrhizae and ectal mycorrhizae, but yet there was still a good organic product. I was getting a wide variety of other things, blending them together. Now, products that they have, their soil planting mix and their tree or other organic fertilizers, they all have a nice range of endo and ectal mycorrhizae. I think if you hang on a second, I'm going to go over here and take a look at this because I'm getting ready to do an order, and I have a bag of theirs over here, which has some of the, no, this is not their bag. Okay, so I missed their bag. I have a bag of the Dr. Earth fertilizer here, which has a list of all the really nice endo and ectal mycorrhizae that they carry. And it's such a nice blend. And I feel so, I really feel great about it because I normally would go out and buy from, other sources. One of my favorite sources is called Down to Earth. They have a wide range of microbials that you can buy in powdered form or in liquid form. And even then, I still go online. I get stuff, of course, from Amazon. They have a wide range of liquid microorganisms that you can buy, which I'm going to talk about in my next show. And I'm going to be doing every time I do a show is I'm going to. I just had this idea, so I'm just going to write it down now. And as we speak, okay, so I'm going to bring in some of my products that I use. There are different types of microbial products, wonderful products. Once you start, you find out about them, you start using them, you'll be surprised how fast things grow and how wonderful the fruit trees are and how healthy the trees are and the diseases and pests you can control with that, like that. Okay, don't do that. Okay, so I'll do that. And from now on, like for example, I have a down to earth bag here that I got, but it doesn't have the microbial in it because from down to earth, I buy a wide range. I think it's downtoearth.com. Again, this is another great ad. I'm going to be talking to these folks. I really am, because one of the things I'm looking for is for sponsors for my radio show. And there's a nice audience here. I turned 70. I want to retire. This is what I want to do. Okay. I'm hoping that pretty soon we can go to video. I can't imagine doing a video show. I'm having such a hard time sometimes just doing this regular, simple little show here through my mixer, which I just got thanks to the help of my wonderful engineer. I was doing it the hard way. I always want to do things the hard way so I can, when I do it the easy way, I go, oh, that was so easy. Anyway, so with a coral tree, you get a few red flowers because you need the trace minerals to make the flowers. See what I'm saying, right? You need the trace minerals to make the flowers. And when you have the rapid growth in plants, whether it be fruit trees, whether it be coral trees, whether it be, you know what happens if you feed your tomato plants with too much nitrogen? You're going to get a massive giant tomato plant. I think there was a show. I had to do at night. Let's do the night walk again. It had to do with a killer tomato plant. I don't remember the whole details, but it was really giant. That's what will happen. You have a massive giant tomato plant. No flowers, no blooms, no tomatoes. Okay? See what I'm saying? And so it's the, and it, that's not what you want. You want to feed everything in a balanced diet in the way they're supposed to get it. That's why I tell people don't just think, unless you're a chemist, just get organic fertilizers. Plus, you can push it a little bit in the sense of getting the trace minerals. There are lots of wonderful products on the market. I told you C90. That's another customer is going to be happy to be a sponsor because C90 is a wonderful product from the ocean. And it's clean. It doesn't have the radiation and all that stuff. I talked to him once, and he explained it to me how that works. It's really cool because it's the ancient sea salt. Over 90 trace minerals. And it's not a coincidence that the same amount of trace minerals is what the human body needs and what animals need. I'm telling you, man, the whole thing is a setup. So for the coral tree, you want to stop giving it the chemical fertilizer. You're probably near a lawn. One reason why I say that is because a lot of people with lawns use chemical fertilizers for their lawns. I think I'm going to just do this real fast to see what happens. That's called time travel. That's what's coming up in a little bit on my cosmic spaceship. I hope you stick around for it. I have a whole bunch of ideas what I'm going to do there. Anyway, so you get very little flowers because you aren't giving it to trace minerals. Learn to give it a good organic fertilizer. You didn't mention the word compost at all, so I'm betting you're not using any compost. The reason why you use compost is to bring the soil back to life so it works, so it has a microbial life in there, right? And in the old days, I would tell people, don't add fertilizer to your compost. Now I'm telling you, add organic fertilizers to your compost. The organic fertilizers will have a whole bunch of stuff in there that will be go wonderful in your compost, whether it be earthworm castings, whether it be, rock dust, whether it be microbial, different types of microorganisms, whether it be, alfalfa meal. All these things are wonderful to go into your compost setup. If you run it through your compost setup, you'll be surprised how fast that soil will get healed when you put the compost down. You'll be surprised how a little bit of your organic fertilizer that you then put in the ground will make plants work even better. You'd be surprised how less water you use, right? You'd be surprised how healthy and how beautiful everything looks. Believe me, when I go to people's places, and I'm always blown away by how beautiful they are. No offense, that's another commercial for me, right? Isn't that nice? So I hope that helps you with your coral tree crunches question. It says, he also says, should our palm trees be fertilized? With what? I'm going, gee, really, really? I would say yes. Remember, everything needs to eat. So unless you have animals running around your place, unless you have a lot of birds and all kinds of creatures, the palm tree is not going to get the food it needs. And it's probably going to get the wrong food. So I figured you have a property, maybe a lawn. Most of the time people really, have a chemical fertilized lawn, which is really very bad for everything around it because it needs a lot of water and chemical fertilizers, high nitrogen spewing out all over the place, fungicides, herbicides, weed killers, So all that stuff kills the soil. So yeah, you should feed the tr fertilize your tree. But the thing that you need to key into is have your gardener or yourself apply compost. I say tell people rock dust, compost, and mulch. Right? Rock dust, compost, and mulch. By rock dust, it's my simple way of saying trace minerals. Okay, so you get the rock, you get the minerals from the tr rock, you get the minerals from the rock dust. See what I'm saying? And one of the reasons why my rock dust, I call it Municipal Gardener's Rock Dust Blend, that's another commercial, is because I get a blend of 14 different types of rock dust and blend them together. And then I take microbes, which I buy from all these different places, which are almost the same as what Dr. Earth has in his bag. And I'm very tempted to start adding the Dr. Earth stuff to my rock dust blend because it's got all the microbes in it, and it's a wonderful blend. That's a really good idea. I may just talk to him about. But right now, I buy the microbes. I buy the different types of rock dust. There's 14 different types, by the way. And I put them back to, I put them up, mix them all together because you want to have a wide source of minerals, trace minerals. I buy this one product called AgriWin, AgriWin, and it comes from Southern California. I'm gonna have him on. George is his name. His rock dust is 30% calcium. It comes from alluvium clay, 30% calcium. That's really good. Azomite is another type of rock dust, and it comes from the Colorado area there. And it has a wide range, but doesn't have nearly a 30%, but it has other trace minerals in it too. And there's glacial rock dust. There's tons of different types of rock dust. Believe me, trust me, I got 14 that I found so far. And I can get more, but I don't want to be shipping them from Africa and other places. These are places that I can get them shipped within the United States. Even though glacial rock dust comes from Canada. But you always want to try to find local sources of rock dust. You'd be surprised you could, for example, I found a local source of rock dust, and this is how I found it. So I live in Malibu, so I drive through, I think it's I-75. So I have family in Florida. That's how I came here. I came here through, I think it was I-75 or I-5. Now I forget. It goes across the United States from all the way from Florida to over here to California. And so I'm driving down that road, and there is this big sign that says organic strawberries. It's over by Palm Springs out in the desert out there. It could be I-5, I think, right? I haven't been out there in such a long time, but I'm driving down the road, and there's a big sign that says fresh organic strawberries. So I said, cool, I love strawberries. Usually see that on the way across, I was eating organic peaches, and anytime I see anything, fruit stands, anything organic, especially if they say organic, I would eat it, so I was doing fine. So I got the peaches. I said, strawberries, cool. So I pull it up in there, and I started talking to them about, the strawberries. So, they're organic. Oh, what are you feeding them, huh? What are you doing to them? Because I always want to know what they mean by organic. So the guy says, wait a minute. This dust storm came across the street, and it's just all over the place and moved on. And he says, well, I just fertilized my strawberries. And so that area there is there's it's a construction company. A rock company, what they do is they mine out rocks and they crush it for the streets, for construction work or for street paving and all this stuff. And in the process of doing their mining, they have this specific stuff that they can't use, and it's called alluvium clay. Now, the alluvium clay is exactly what I wanted. And I had to test it for one of the things you do when you go to a mining place, you say, I want to Could you give me a sample of your lab reports about your rock dust? Because I would like to get some of your dust, and sometimes they give it to you for free. Nowadays, they probably sell it. Make sure it's not toxic, because it could have all kinds of weird things in there. They're not exactly man-made. I mean, they are man-made and not made in nature, right? So I had tested for toxicity levels, and it was fine. It didn't have any heavy levels of arsenic or mercury or lead or no radioactive. Now I think of it, I probably should have had it tested for radioactivity. Uh-oh, maybe it was radioactive, right? Oh dear. But it was rich in a wide variety of trace minerals. It was absolutely great. It had 12% calcium, I think, something like that. Had phosphorus in it, and of course there's no nitrogen in that, but so I used to get it by the truckload and by the pickup load and then by the bag load, and then I stopped going that way because I can't go anymore. But that was one source there in Florida, my first experience with rock dust. And here comes another commercial, folks. Let's see if I get it. Oh yeah, the name of the company is called Fertrell, 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 right? Fertrell. I'm going to go ahead and just sort of look it up real fast while we're talking here. Now, when I used to go out into the as a kid, ELL. So it's Fertrell. Okay, and Fertrell, let me see if I can find their website over here, because it should be easy enough to find. There it is. It's a Fertrell company. Fertrell. Wow, they're still around. Isn't that cool? This was 1970. When I got out of the service. No, excuse me, it's even later than that, because I was going on it was 1970, because I went out with my dad and stuff, but I didn't get to Fertrell until I got out of the service. And I got out of the service in 1970. So 70, 71, 72, somewhere around there, I was going out to the countryside. I was making compost, right? And I call it Organa, and I had Organa Gold and Malibu Gold when I moved to Malibu. But I would go out and get stuff from the farmers out there. So, I mean, I would go out and get they have a farmer's market, they would have organic produce, organic food. So I would cool, get that. And at the same time, I would say, I see you have horses, or I see you have chickens, or I see you have goats, I see you have rabbits. And a lot of times, I remember one place, a lady had rabbits, and she would bag up the rabbit poop and sell it. Another time, and actually, I remember that lady because I say, "You have rabbits. Can I get some of your rabbit poop?" She says, "Oh, we don't have any rabbit poop. We all throw it away. It goes over there, goes over here." So I would go into the pile and I say, "Oh, that's cool." Scrape it together and put it in my bag and take it. And I said, "Look, I'll just pay you couple of dollars per bag, save it for me." She said, "Oh, really?" So she started saving me the rabbit bag. And then she, next thing you know, she's got chicken manure, that she would save for me. And then she started saving me the horse stuff. And of course, I had a relationship with her. I said, "What are you injecting your animals? Are you spraying? What are you doing?" Because, it all ends up in your poop. You have to be real careful about that. But then I found this one place, which was really cool. I remember. He had mangoes, he had avocados, big field of mango, big field of avocados, main thing I remember, but he had all these types of exotic fruit, which I love. And then I said, "How do you fertilize all this stuff?" And he says, "Well, I use this stuff." And that's what's the stuff he used, Fertrell. And Fertrell is really interesting because it's kind of like a blend of rock dust and a variety of other different mixtures in the Fertrell product. I haven't been to their website in like, since the 70s, when I first bought it from them, and they seem to have expanded into a blend of other things here, which I is kind of cool. So I'm gonna have to look at this again because this is all organic. I assume it's organic. Yeah, natural and organic fertilizers. There you go. See, and they have alfalfa meal. Looks like they have another source of rock dust here. Really, really nice. Fertrell Organic Kelp. Garden, nice. It's called Fertrell, Fertrell, and that's one of the. I'm going to order because I loved it myself. It had green sand in it, So they're palm. So you can get an organic palm fertilizer, which is low in nitrogen. One of those problems with palms is that they get this disease called Phytophthora. This disease feeds on high nitrogen. That's it. That's the worst thing you could do to a sick palm, with that disease or a variety of other diseases is high nitrogen to the high nitrogen fertilizer, right? That's why phosphorus is very important. It's one of the things that's very important to the pond. Same thing with calcium. It needs others. I call them exotics. So if you get a good organic fertilizer, you don't even need a pond fertilizer. Just get any type, like, okay, here comes a commercial. Get the Dr. Earth's all-purpose fertilizer. Perfect. It has like 4-5-4 in it and a variety of other numbers too and a variety of other sources of organic minerals and so forth. Wonderful. And of course, it has the endo and ectomycorrhiza. So by itself, that by itself is wonderful to use. But if you want to get better results, because remember, you can add that to a dead soil. It's going to be longer to get that together than if you're adding it to a healthier living soil. So you need to get compost, a source of good live, rich compost, which has the microbes in it and all the little creatures it needs. Blend that into the soil. Start using that. Do that on a regular basis. You should be applying rock dust compost and mulch at least twice a year. Winter, spring, summer, and fall is better. Here in Southern California, we can do that winter, spring, summer, and fall. When I lived in Boulder, Colorado, you can't do that in the wintertime. You got snow out there, right? And maybe in the fall too. So you have the spring and summer to grow things. Now, otherwise, pretty soon come the fall, it starts getting colder and colder and colder, and before you know it, but that's the fall is actually an ideal time to be making compost. The winter times is a whole different story. And so, but you want to be applying it to your property, to the soil. Then if you add the good organic fertilizer, you get better results. On top of that, what you should be doing to the palms, and the same thing with the coral trees, is to foliar spray them, because they eat several different ways. Remember, while you're working on getting the root systems together, I talk a lot about short-term and long-term solutions. Well, long-term solution is getting the root systems together. Short-term solution is to give it the trace minerals, like IV for you. And you do that by spraying on the trunks and on the leaves. Do I get a mixture of a nice source of trace minerals and microbes? That's why compost tea is a wonderful one to use, especially if you're having the compost is rich in all the minerals. You're making compost properly with rock dust and all the minerals in there, right? If you're using the C90, C90 is a wonderful one to use. The reason why I use it, because I make it a foliar spray, and I add it to my 100-gallon sprayer, and I spray the trees with it. Not just by itself, I make compost tea added to it. And even to that, I add my super seaweed to it, because super seaweed is a microbiological activator. Duh! Get it? Right? You can get my super seaweed. Here's a commercial on my website, invisiblegardener.com. I invented that in this. In one of the sixth grade, I started with it, because I made my own mixture. I didn't have the name for it until I got out in 1970, when I started my business. I started calling it super seaweed then. And so it's a blend. It's been called microbial food because it's perfect food for the microorganism, which is the trace minerals in the right way that they can absorb it, that they can use it. And then what they poop out is what the plants need. And it doesn't damage the root systems of the trees whatsoever. Okay, so here's one other thing. So another question, and then pretty soon it's going to have to go, 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 go. Okay, so this one says, I have a hillside that's facing the ocean, like to natural foliage like Legacy Park, which is a park nearby. You know, they have all kinds of nice growing things. Low water uses. So I said, I understand there's a service I can get to the results by spraying the hillside. Well, I think what you're talking about is a service that has seeds that basically is a foam-like mixture that has seeds in it. Native seeds, stuff like that, that then they can spray on that hillside, which then, if you water it adequately, will grow. And so what they do is they basically build a sprinkler system to water the side, and then they spray the hillside, and then you have the sprinkler system come on regularly to then, I'm going to bookmark this, to then make the seed grow, right? So that's what I think you're talking about. I don't really recommend anybody because I don't know anything enough about that to do that. But what I do know is that especially for California, there's a native California grass called Carapia, Kurapia, K-U-R-A-P-I-A. It's a ground cover that has the roots that go down 10 feet, right? And once it gets established, it doesn't need to get watered. Let it rain. If it doesn't rain, maybe you water it maybe once a month. And it will cover that slope. And it's pretty much fireproof. It doesn't like getting burnt. It'll withstand tremendous amount of heat because it's massive amounts of root system. Even if it was burned on the top, it would all come back again. And it's kind of looks like strawberries with little white flowers on it, so you can walk on it if you want to. So that's what I would suggest. It's called carrapia. And then the last question was, can you recommend a service that would come out and fertilize, spray our complete yard? I used to do that when I was young, come out and fertilize people's properties. That's how I started. I started Invisible Gardener in 1970, but as a kid, I also did that too. And I was using whatever fertilizers I can get my hands on in terms of organic, right? In those days, it was a lot harder to buy organic fertilizer, so you have to make your own. And lots of different ways you can make your own. Being living on a farm, I learned how to use compost right away, and how to make different types of products from the garden, and different things I can buy in the store and the grocery store. But I don't do that anymore so much, as I don't have the time. So I basically work on big properties now, in terms of I get better pay, is what it comes down to. But you can do that yourself. It's not really that difficult to. You don't need to fertilize the yard and stuff like that. If you were to apply the rock dust and compost and mulch on a regular basis, then you can get a good organic fertilizer like the Dr. Earth, for example, or the Amigo Bob's organic fertilizer. It's great also. And then do it yourself. I have the gardener do it. It's very simple. It's not very hard to do. And you'll find that you get, then there are not that many organic companies out there now that I know of. Okay, so if you're that's the other thing. I'll be happy to talk to anybody who does this service and tell me what part of the United States you live in, and I'll be happy to talk to you about it. I started myself in the sixth grade, and by the time I got out of the service in 1970, I started a church because I'm actually an ordained minister. Then I started a school called the Living Institute of Survival Technology, which then operated the Invisible Gardener. And the Invisible Gardener doesn't, that's what he does, is once a month he goes to people's places and he has a magical elixir that he sprays. And the magical elixir is what I make. I make it specifically for each place. It's my super seaweed, a microbiological activator. So I invented that. And that's exactly what it does. It activates. It does that by when I spray the leaves of plants, because it has the trace metals in it in a soluble form, they absorb it. It also has the microbes, which tends to deliver it. Did you know that microbes also live on the leaves of plants? In the forest, you'll find them on the leaves. You don't find them in city life, so to speak. And then it also has, because it has all the trace minerals and the microbes, when you spray it into the ground, because that's what happens a lot. I spray the ground, I soak the ground, when I spray the leaves, sometimes the drops will fall down to the ground. I make sure the ground gets a good majority of this stuff sprayed on it, gets soaked in there. And they will, some of them will, the more I use it, the more they will survive. So when I first go to a customer's place, I don't like just spraying the product, because all of them will die because the soil is really, really bad shape. So I make a deal with the people that you have to start getting your gardener to apply this particular type of compost. Because I used to tell them just to apply compost and they would apply stuff that wasn't really any good. So now I tell them what to apply. I want them to use. And I'll apply the rock dust, which basically is the trace minerals. You guys have to apply the compost and the mulch. And this is a specific type of compost and the specific mulch that I want you to apply. Otherwise, I'm not doing it, because it has to be. We all have to be on it together. There's no way I can work on your finger and heal you and ignore your body. See, people call me up all the time. I want you to heal this tree, or it's just don't look at everything else. Don't look at everything else. Just do this, heal this tree. I go, no, that's just the finger. I can't heal your finger if I can't heal your body. See what I'm saying, right? So that's what we're, so next week I'm going to start the process of bringing in with me what I use and tell you the names of the companies so that you can start gathering them yourself. Okay, where I get the rock dust from, where I get how I make my super seaweed. I can tell you the secrets of how I make my super seaweed because you won't be able to make one ingredient out. I can give you the 99% of the ingredients, but there's one ingredient that I make. It's like when you're making yogurt, I have this one bacteria. But also too, just to tell you the truth, it's in the super seaweed. So if you get good at making, you can buy a super seaweed and just use it, or you can buy it and make more. Because there's a ways to make more. There's things you can add to that super seaweed, and in terms of buying liquids as well, the variety of liquids. I'm getting ready to order some more for my next season coming up. So I will tell you what they are. I'll tell you exactly what Nitron 835 is. I'll tell you exactly what AgriGrow is, right? I'll tell you about Willard water. You can look all these things up. They're all floating around out there. Willard water, right? I can tell you what Ultra is. Ultra is a wonderful product that the AgriGrow people make. I ran into them in early 70s when I was giving a talk at the Nitron conference, the organic conference. They have a wonderful enzyme product. I call it the pink version because that's the original version. It's pink. They actually took it to Kuwait when they had the fires, and they put the fires out, and somebody got burned. They put it on his hand and healed him. I've been using that too. It's a very wonderful type of enzyme that works great. And Ultra, I said, their product, same product, but with liquid seaweed in it. Nitron 835, as I said, the Nitron folks used to give a conference in Fayetteville, Arkansas, an organic conference, but they have a product, it's Nitron A35. It's an enzyme product. These are enzymes that will break up minerals and turn them into a soluble form that the plants can use. See? And so there are literally, then of course I have a source of liquid seaweed, which I am slowly fading out because I believe that seaweed is getting be more and more radioactive and more toxic. So it's harder and harder to find clean sources of seaweed. So I buy some that are for human consumption, which are cleaner. I buy something. I buy a few sources from the North Atlantic, but I'll go over with you what that is, what some of those sources are. Then I also have a variety of other interesting things that I add to my super seaweed, which I would be happy to go over with you. Like I said, I'll be going over. I'll be bringing every time I do a show. If you have any questions. Oh, before I forget, the contest is ongoing. The people will get the grower's kit, which has an ounce, a quarter of the super seaweed, and has 5 pounds of the rock dust blend, and of course you get the lifetime membership. To enter the contest, either you send me email andylopez@invisiblegardener.com, and the subject you write, enter me in your contest. You have a question, you can put it in the body, or you can go to the website invisiblegardener.com, click on inquiry. In the inquiry, fill out the information, click on the contest. It tells me that you want to enter the contest and put your question on there, right? Or the other way to do it is to, if you get the newsletter, in the newsletter you'll see enter me in the contest button. Click on that. You get the newsletter by signing up on my website, invisiblegardener.com. So coming up within the next, I don't know where my time is. Let's see. Oh, 4 minutes. Yeah. It will be my cosmic spaceship show. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to talk to them. If you want to get, I'm sorry I didn't give out the phone numbers today. You can get the phone numbers right from the website, bbsradio.com, and then /organic. Don't panic, it's organic. You can also get at it from my website, invisiblegardener.com. You click on radio show. It takes you right to my radio show page. If you want to get to the page, if you want to get to the BBS radio, just click on the link. Takes you right to the bbsradio.com show. And then I have a bunch of things all set lined up to be happening as the shows come on. Like I said, I'm hoping to switch over to a video format because I do a lot of work and I like to show you the video. I like to turn it into like a classroom environment so I can do graphics and charts for you and all kinds of interesting things to show you, right? I love to be able to show you the products, that I'm using, and then also be able to talk to you because I'd like to get a video too about your garden. So when you talk to me, you can show me the video of your garden or particular pest or tree problem, because that's one reason why I'm here, is to help you with your gardening problems. Okay, and I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I help a lot if the guy, the husband wants to use the chemicals and the wife doesn't. The husband just wants to do what he thinks is right, and he'll do it organically if it works. So I think that then I'm also going to be doing more information on bricks. People have been asking me a lot about bricks. What the heck am I talking about when I mention bricks? I'm going to be talking about how rock dust affects bricks. What does trace minerals have to do with bricks, right? And that'll be out coming up next week. Rock dust and bricks. I'm also trying to get the couple of different folks. One of the sources of rock dust that you should check out is called remineralize.org. It's an excellent source of trace minerals, of rock dust that you can get for you. And I'll talk to you more about that next week. I'm going to hopefully get some start getting some guests to come on. I've just been really busy, so I haven't had time to track down people that I want to be on, that I want to have on my show. If you think you have a product, if you have something you want to talk about, you want to be on my show, you just contact me. I'm happy to get you on my show. So coming up is Cosmic Spaceship, and this is Andy Lopez. You've been listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic.